Crumb.
The great American artist, illustrator, and writer Robert Crumb has been described as the father of underground comics. His wife, Aileen Kaminsky Crumb, is also a successful cartoonist, known for her autobiographical stories. I met the Crumbs at the start of this year's Prague Writers' Festival, where they're among the special guests. Assuming that when they started out, cartooning wouldn't have been regarded as literature, when did their art form begin winning respect?
Well, I always thought from the time I was about 18 or 19 years old that comics had potential to be more personal medium and somewhat more artistic than just something for children or something for lightweight entertainment. So I was always very serious about comics in a funny way. But it took then years and years of struggle and trying to figure out how to do that before it actually worked.
Well, what really changed comics was Art Spiegelman and Raw Magazine, because he took it to another level of high art, you might say, and took it out of the comics ghetto.
You were extremely successful in the mid to late 60s with Keep on Trucking and Fritz the Cat and Mr. Natural.
Yeah.
You weren't a hippie. You took a lot of LSD, I believe, but you yourself weren't a hippie. But I guess many of your fans were. Did you feel out of step with the times, so to speak, in the late 60s?
Yes, I did feel out of step with the times. And I tried to be a hippie, but I really couldn't pull it off. I was just too weird and too, I don't know, I couldn't. Because hippie was a style, you know, long hair and attitude, and I didn't like any of the music, and, you know, so yeah, I felt, I really tried to be a hippie and get in there and loosen up and be groovy, but it was hopeless, I couldn't do it.
And Aileen, were you a hippie chick, or was that before your time?
No, I was at the love-ins and be-ins, I had tons of boyfriends, I wore no underwear and short skirts and had hairy legs, and lived on communes, and I had a ball, and Robert was like an old man in a young man's body, and now he's like a young old man. He kind of grew into it, but, you know, he was just completely square and strange and eccentric always, and he hasn't really changed at all, but I had a great time.
When I first met Aileen in 1971, she was a classic New York Jewish girl hippie of the time, just, you know, out of central casting completely.
Among your works, Mr. Crumb, is Kafka, A Beginner's Guide. I think it also has different titles now, but
yeah.
What's your relationship to the work of Kafka?
Well, before I did that book, I never read Kafka, didn't know anything about him. And then the guy who wrote it, David Merowitz, proposed that project to me, so I started reading Kafka, and then I developed a deep kinship, brotherhood with Kafka. I felt so close to him by the end of that project, it was spooky. I felt his ghost was looking over my shoulder. It was quite a deep experience, actually.
Also, you have described cartooning as a lonely job, but is it a lonely job in a bad way, or do you like the fact that it's a lonely job?
I like that it's a lonely job, that I can sit in my room by myself and do it, because I mostly like to just be in my room by myself, mostly. It's dealing with other human beings is stressful for me. I'm somewhat autistic or something, I don't know.
But you two also work together. How does that work in practical terms?
Well, you know, when we get into writing together, we kind of become a comedy team. Like, I don't know if you know George Burns and Gracie Allen. They were like an old vaudeville team and a TV team. And we kind of get into the George and Gracie mentality where Robert puts out a line and then I take off with it, you know, and he takes notes really fast, and we have kind of we get into our reporter mentality for covering an event, or just we have a way of being in that comic strip. And then when we're actually working on it, we do everything in pencil first all the writing, then we each pencil our characters in, and then we each take a page and do the inking, and then we switch pages.
Was it a big change then for you working with somebody else?
Yeah, sure. It's a completely different thing. But yeah, I used to do it with my older brother Charles when we were kids. That's one way we learned to draw comics was his idea, really, of doing it together and going back and forth. I take on one character, he takes on the other, and that's how Aileen and I work. And we first started doing that in 1972, you know, not that long after we first met. But it's easy to do that with Aileen because she just I just feed her a lead line, and she just goes into her kind of Jewish comedy routine with it. It's easy. That practically writes itself, those things we do together. But Aileen, you know, she's also in her own right a storytelling cartoonist that does her own autobiographical comics, which are great in their own right. She was the first woman cartoonist to draw personal autobiographical comics.
Well, some of your own work is very personal, and often it documents your own sexual tastes and that kind of thing.
Oh, yes.
Do you ever feel discomforted that, I mean, it could be one reason you're so popular that you're so open, but do you ever feel discomforted that so many people know really personal things about you?
Constantly. I feel constantly uncomfortable with that. I can't be in the same room with someone who's reading one of my personal sexual fantasy comics. It's too uncomfortable. I have to run out of their room or tell them to put it away. It's an odd thing when I'm sitting and drawing that stuff. I'm not aware or thinking about the consequences of it and the feedback and, you know, what's going to happen after it's out there. I don't think of that. It's funny.
I guess in the mid-1990s, there was a film made about you and your family, and it was very candid, and also it was very successful. What was your feeling when that film kind of took off and was so successful? Again, it was very, very personal and candid.
I was completely surprised that it was successful, that got all that attention, and Aileen was also. I mean, Aileen kind of talks about her mother in that film and makes fun of her mother on film, not realizing her mother or anticipating her mother would ever see it. But then it got big distribution. Her mother went to see it at the local multiplex, how about it, and was, of course, very hurt and everything like that. So we were completely shocked. I mean, our friend Terry Zwigoff, who made that movie, he had been this, you know, a small-time documentary filmmaker, and he had made us one film before that got seen at a few art houses, and, you know, but Crumb got such wide distribution that we were all shocked by that. And I don't know if we would have been so open and intimate if we'd known that, if we'd known it would get such wide.
No, we never would have done it, but Terry, he filmed like a few hours here and a few hours there, and he's a really close friend, and we never thought about it. We actually thought he'd never get enough money to ever finish it, so we didn't worry about it until we would just talk normally.
In the documentary, you're packing up to move to France. What led you to move to the south of France?
It was me and Laura's fault. Laura already lived in France, and I used to come and house sit for her. And the third time I think I house sat for her, I decided, that's it. I want to move over here.
They can't see Laura, that she's actually here in the studio with us at this moment. Laura Fountain, she's the wife of Gilbert Shelton, another cartoonist, and they live in Paris, and she's our literary agent, and she's here with us today.
Yeah, and she already lived in Paris, so since I visited her, I started getting more and more interested in living over here. And our daughter was 9, and I really wanted to get her out of America at that age before she became like a mall brat and a spoiled American monster. So instead, she became a spoiled French monster.
Living in France is—I don't even want to reveal it. It's great living in France. It's a great country to live in. And also, in the last 25, 30 years, America became so hateful. I mean, I like my friends there, but the culture and the attitudes, just became such a land of hustling scoundrels and swindlers and thieves and greed. It just became so disgusting, and the development in California where we lived was just this merciless, ongoing juggernaut. It was horrible. So it's France, it's not happening like that. It's different situation.